Okay, we are in the book of Mark, chapter 14. Last week we finished up to 52 verses. We are going to start from verse 53.
And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes.
Now here we see, they took Jesus direct to the high priest, they say. And how many people, what kind of people were assembled? He says chief priests, elders, and the scribe. They are all religious people. They are trying to find some fault in Jesus Christ so they can put death penalty. That's what this idea was. And can you imagine, they have the Passover feast coming, the religious holidays coming, and all these priests, chief priests, elders, and scribe thinking about doing something wrong and don't even feeling guilty. Verse 54.
And Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priests, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire.
Now here we see that Peter followed, but he was not too close, going from far away, keeping eye on Jesus, what's happening, and he comes to even the high priest's palace. St. John says, when he comes to the high priest's palace, there was a gatekeeper. And John had some kind of influence with the high priest, or some kind of, maybe he knew somebody there. So he might have said to the lady, gatekeeper, let me go. So she let him go. But Peter didn't have anybody known to him, so he stood outside. Let's go and read that in St. John chapter 18, verse 16.
But Peter stood at the door without, then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter.
The doorkeeper was not allowing Peter to come in, but somehow John had some influence, and he brought him in. When he brought him in, I don't think Peter and John, they stood together. John might have went to somewhere close, but the Peter was a little bit still far, and they said the people were warming themselves, so Peter also stood there and warming himself. And see what happens, verse 55.
And the chief priests and all the council sought for witness against Jesus to put him to death, and found none.
Chief priests, they had all these people called spies going after Jesus and finding out what fault they can find. So now they are looking for the people this many years, at least 2 or 3 years. You were going here and there and listening to Jesus. We want some witness. But the word of God said they could not find one. They didn't have one witness coming and saying, we said, now they have to force somebody. Now here he says, there is none, no witness. They had no witness. That means they could not find willingly somebody can come and say something against Jesus. Now today also we see, if they don't find witness, they can bribe somebody, give some money and say, this is what you say. And if that person, you know, he's doing for the money, so he said, okay, I'll do whatever you say, I'll do it. And now here we see, they could not find any witness. So see what happened. Verse 56.
For many bear false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together.
Now, here says there was no witness. Now they find out, hey, somebody should say something. So now many witnesses came. And they start saying anything they want to say to just make Jesus guilty. But I don't know if there was any judge. But anybody said something, just think somebody says, Jesus says something else. And somebody says, oh, no, no, he didn't say that. He said this. So in between them, they had no unity. And so their unity didn't work, and the witnesses were false. So they didn't know what to do. Now here some wise guy comes and try to give another witness. Verse 57.
And there arose certain and bare false witness against him, saying, We heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands.
See now, when this guy, I don't know his name, they didn't give his name, certain person, now he says, I heard him say. But from his talk, I don't think he heard him saying. He just heard from somebody else. He did not have the eyewitness news. Or he did not have anything solid proof what Jesus really said. So he's just saying, I heard him saying, I will destroy this temple. And within 3 days, I will build another temple made without hands. So he is adding something and saying something that Jesus didn't say it. Jesus never said, I'm going to destroy this temple and I'm going to rebuild this temple and I'm going to rebuild without hands. So he's trying to say he's going to do some kind of magic or something. And he would just say, the temple be there and temple will come. Jesus had power. He could do if he wants to. But he didn't say that. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, when he created all the universe, he just spoke the word and everything came in existence. So Jesus could say and can happen. But Jesus did not say this. Now just think what Jesus Christ was saying. Let's go to the St. John chapter 2, verse 19 and to 21.
Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up.
Now, he was talking to the people, and the disciples were listening. So, if he was saying, destroy this temple, putting hand on his own body, destroy this temple, and within 3 days, I will raise this temple up. Now, he was talking this temple. How do you know? Read the following verse.
Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body.
See, here is a clear, he was talking about the temple of his body. So we know as a Christian, the word of God says we are the temple of the living God. And God lives in this temple. So he was talking to his disciples and he says, this temple, this body, I will raise after 3 days. And those people asked the question, well, how can you do this? But this time he just talked in a parable. These people did not understand. But the false witness comes and says, I heard him saying, I will destroy this temple, which is made with hands, and within 3 days, I will build another temple, another made without hands. Did you see in that scripture? No. He did not say this. He just said this temple. He did not use the word with hands, without hands. He never used that word. So, his witness was false witness. And if you read in Exodus chapter 20, verse 16, the false witness is prohibited. Means if you do false witness, is a crime or breaking the commandment of God.
Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor.
Now, this is the one of the commandments. You should not doing the false witness. Now, who are those people sitting there, as I said earlier? Priests, elders, and scribes. They are all knowledgeable about the Bible. They are encouraging these people to give false witness. They are trying to tell these people, say something lie, give the false witness. We want to make this person guilty. And that's what they were doing. Breaking their own law to kill Jesus Christ. Okay, let's go back to the Mark. Okay, verse 14, 59.
But neither so did their witness agree together.
Okay, even though they got a false witness, first of all, they didn't have the witness, then they got some false witness. One person gave the witness, and his witness also did not match. And now somebody, historian, wrote what Jesus said, exactly words, building which is made by hands, and I'm going to make another building without hands. He didn't say it. And so this witness was condemned. And so their witness has no agreement together. Verse 60.
And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee?
When high priest asked Jesus the question, Jesus knew everything that these people are lying. These are the false witnesses. And false witness is prohibited in the Word of God. So he could lecture them and tell them, why you people encouraging you people doing false witness, breaking the Ten Commandments, breaking the law of God, and accuse those people. He had a good chance. But the Word of God says, verse 61, but he held his peace.
But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him and said unto him, Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?
Okay, now here when they were giving false witness, making him angry, but he held his peace. From that we have to learn something. Sometimes people try to irritate you, make you angry, try to find out how long you're going to hold your peace, and they make you miserable, and finally we just give up and start acting like I'm going to shut these people's mouth. But Jesus held his peace, even though he had good points, he didn't say anything. The high priest simply asked the question, what do you think about those witnesses? He could simply say they are wrong, you are encouraging them, they are wrong, and it is not right, and he could defend himself. But he did not defend himself. He just let it go and kept the peace. Now the high priest asking another question. He could not keep quiet on this question. This question was personal questions to Jesus Christ. He says, Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And those days they did not even want to talk to God or God the Father or Jehovah. Jesus says, Son of the Blessed. Jesus understood what they are talking about. Jesus knew that they are asking, I am the Christ, or I am the Son of God, or did I come from my Father? These are the questions they asked. So, if he kept quiet, they will understand, well, he is not a Son of God. He is not a Christ. That's why he is keeping quiet. He just gave them the answer. Verse 62.
And Jesus said, I am, and ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven.
Now here Jesus says, I am. So our God is all present God. It's not like he was. Jesus is always. So whenever we have need, we can use this word, I am. I am your provider, I am the answer, I am whatever you need, I am. So whatever you need, Jesus Christ is the answer for our problems. So he says here, I am the one you're talking about. So he said two different things. He said, you're going to see me sitting at the right hand of the Father. And then when I come back on earth, I'll come in the cloud, and that he's talking about the coming for the 1,000-year reign. He said, you are going to see it. But these people didn't see with their own eyes, but they at least heard it. If you remember, they were stoning Stephen and killing him with a stone. You can see it in the book of Acts chapter 7. And Stephen said, I see the heaven opens, and I see Jesus Christ, the Son of God, standing at the right hand of Father. So he was sitting on the throne with Father. But when they start stoning Stephen, he stood there to welcome his spirit. And so Jesus Christ said it, and it did not take too long to find these people out that Jesus Christ was sitting at the right hand of the Father. And coming with a cloud, that didn't happen yet, but it's going to happen. And so when he said these things, these people got so much angry, they didn't know what to do. Read the verse 63.
Then the high priest rent his clothes and saith, "What need we any further witnesses?"
Now, when the high priest rent his clothes, the priest making himself naked, that means he is so angry. And so he wanted to curse Jesus Christ whatever way he can. But he just said, "This is so blasphemy, we do not need any more witnesses." For this blasphemy, they are saying he is guilty for the death penalty. Read verse following.
"Ye have heard the blasphemy. What think ye?" And they all condemned him to be guilty of death.
Who are those people condemn him as a guilty man? Priests, high priest, elders, and scribe. All these religious people sitting there, and Jesus did not say anything blasphemy. You know what blasphemy means? Saying something against God. Saying something against Holy Spirit. Saying something against their temple or whatever. He did not say anything bad about anybody. He simply said the truth. Because he was always telling, "I'm coming from my Father, and I did not do anything without my Father. And everything he is doing, what Father said." And so he did not say this is first time. He said this thing many, many times, and they heard it. But now they don't have any excuse. So they said, "This is blasphemy. We have to condemn him to death." Verse 65.
And some began to spit on him and to cover his face and to buffet him and to say unto him, "Prophesy." And the servants did strike him with the palms of their hands.
Now can you imagine? All dignified people, priests, high priests, elders, and the scribes. All those people sitting there, and they're allowing the ordinary people to kick him, to beat him, to spit on him. And I don't think their law will allow them, even today. Police are not allowed to beat the criminal until they find him guilty. And if they do something like that, then the police loses their jobs, even the 21st century. And so this is all what they're doing against the law, against the religious activity, and they're acting like these people are not even religious. They're hitting him. They're spitting on him. They're telling him do prophecy. And they're hitting with their hands. And Jesus Christ is like a helpless. The word of God says, like a sheep going for the slaughter. Not saying a word. He's keeping quiet. 66.
And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, "And thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth."
Now, this is the same girl who allowed him to come in when the John told him to let this man come. And I think she was keeping eye on him like a spy, because she is hired by the high priest. So she is the high priest's servant. So she is doing a favor to high priest that she wanted to do not only Jesus Christ to be crucified, but she wants as many as people they can find guilty, they can punish them. So she was watching this Peter. John says, "Let him come," so she let him come, but she followed him when he was warming, and she's staring at him, looking at him. Just think the Peter, what Peter might be thinking. Peter might be thinking, you know, this is the girl was not allowing me to come in. And now when I came in, John already left. She's looking at me. She's staring at me. And not only staring, she comes close and she's telling other people, do you know, this man was with Jesus. And so, that's why many preachers, when they preach, they said, Peter denied Christ in front of a little girl or a woman. He was a man, very strong man, like a fisherman. They were always strong. You know, they had to pull this fish net. So their body is good and strong. Not only that, they eat fish all the time. So they are husky, good, strong fishermen. He was so much angry, he would have said something to this girl, but let's read the words. He just denied Christ. Verse 68.
But he denied, saying, I know not, and neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew.
Now, this is the first time. He denied Jesus Christ. Now he goes into the porch, and this is now morning. They're watching all this night. Now the morning come. These people might be tired. Jesus already getting beating. And he's bubbling inside. He didn't know what to do. And here the morning comes and the rooster crows. And he already denied Jesus Christ. Verse 69.
And a maid saw him again and began to say to them that stood by, this is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto.
Now, here, this lady, twice she said, and this is the third time she coming after him, and she is saying, this is the man was with Jesus Christ. And the St. John's Gospel, even that man who Peter cut his ear, he comes and he says to Peter, didn't I see you in that garden? He didn't say to him, didn't you cut my ear? But he said, I saw you in the garden, and Peter is the one who cut his ear. So Peter recognized him. And so all these major people, this girl could not do anything, but she's influencing to other people and saying, this is the man, this is the man. And Peter start denying. Then the servant whose ear was cut, he comes and he gives some testimony. And then finally, all people gather together in a group and start telling him, you know what? Your language tells me that you are with Jesus. Because these people were coming from Galilee. And so just like somebody comes from south and we are in Philadelphia, we know the Philadelphia language and southern language. All of a sudden, somebody says, don't you speak a southern language? You're not from Philadelphia. So he cannot deny certain language you learn and the pronunciation you learn from your childhood. It is difficult to change. So they caught him and they tried to say, you are the man. Your pronunciations are different. We figured out you are with him. Now in the Bible, doesn't say what actually Peter said, but he says, read the verse 71.
But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom ye speak.
Now he says cursing. We don't know what word he used for cursing. And swearing. We don't know what kind of swearing he was doing. But he was trying to convince these people, I don't know this man. And so, when this thing happened, verse 72.
And the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice.
Now, all these people came against Peter. The girl came three times. The man whose ear was cut, he came, and the other people who were warming, they came, and other people who are saying, you are Galilean, and all these witnesses came, and Peter got so scared, and he forgot everything what Jesus said, and he denied him three times, and all of a sudden, the rooster again crows. So, But in movie, if you say the Christ movie and things like that, then Jesus looked at Peter when he denies. So the point I'm making, whatever Jesus Christ said, Peter's tried to make it that it will not happen, but did happen, right? What Jesus Christ says, the heaven and earth will pass away, but whatever the words he said it, it will not pass. So we cannot make a God a liar. Peter tried to defend himself, tried to do everything what he can do, but exactly what Jesus said exactly happened. So what we're learning, when Christ gave us so many promises in the Bible, there are thousands of promises are there. We read all the time. But what we do, when we read it, and when we have a problem, we forget it. And so, when God said it, I believe it, and it will settle it. Whatever the Word of God says, it looks like a mountain right now. It looks like impossible, but God said it. Now, when we read in Matthew chapter 18, verse 19, two people agree on earth, touching anything, I will hear from heaven. How plainly it is, right? But when we have problem, how many people say, hey, listen, if this word says like this, could you please pray with me and agree with me so this thing can happen? People don't believe it. They don't believe what the Word of God says. There are so many promises. When the Word of God says, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. When we have a need, we don't sit there and say, quote these scriptures to God. Lord, you said this. So why can't you fulfill this promise in my life? Why I have to go to somebody asking for help? Why don't you help me? God says, you know, when we start doing the Lord's work, he remembers his promises. That's why he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then other things will be added unto you. It is not coming automatically, but if you are a godly person, and if you are living godly life, you are not fighting, you are not quarreling, you are not demanding anything, and so God will say, okay, you're faithful to me, I'll be faithful to you. Do you know that story? Somebody made it up, or maybe real story. The old lady sitting there hungry and praying to God, God, I'm hungry, give me some loaf of bread. Now, this lady may be very old, maybe not able to walk, not able to go to shopping, but she's just praying. And the children playing outside heard the lady praying. They said, we are going to make this lady a little bit miserable. And let's go to for shopping. And they went to shopping and they got the bread and they threw it from the window where the lady was. And she took the bread and said, thank you, Lord, for giving the bread. You know what children start saying? Hey, God didn't give it to you. We give it to you. She said, well, God gave it to me. Maybe devil delivered it. But God used you to give me the bread. That's the way it is. Sometimes somebody sends your money order, the postman gives to you. And people foolishly give postman $10 just to thank you for giving. He's not the one giving. He's doing his duty. If you are really in need, you don't give it to him anything. But sometimes, if you don't give it to the postman, they hold the money order in India for 3-4 weeks. If you don't give anything, they don't give it to you on time. That's why I'm saying we have to thank God. One day I was praying, said, Lord, I need some money, and I wanted to travel somewhere, and I need the money for ticket. So I'm praying. And I'm praying, the door is open, the postman came and he's standing. He knew that I'm praying, so he didn't want to disturb me. So he just, with a small pencil, he's hitting on my table so softly. And I'm ignoring and I'm praying. Now God told me, what you prayed for money, here is the money, open your eyes. When I opened the eyes, the postman says, I have money order for you. And you have to sign the paper so I can give it to you. The point I'm making, When you have a need, go to God. He knows your need. We sometimes fight and we sometimes argue, ask people. For example, you gave somebody money and you have a need, and that person didn't give it to you. I said, this is the time I'm going to choke his neck and get my money because I have a need and why cannot he give? The Bible gave the example for that. One man had a lot of debts, so he asked to his master, could you please forgive me? And if you forgive me, I'll pay your debts. Please let me go. And the millions of dollar debt. He said, okay, I forgive you. Go. Then he said, now I was in jail and I don't have any money. I gave this man $10 one time. Now I need money. Maybe for smoking or drinking. I don't know. He was craving for something or what. He said to this man, hey, could you give my $10? He said, I'm sorry. Give some time and I'll give it to you. No, right now you give it. Otherwise, I'm going to put him in a jail or beat you up. And he started harassing him. Somebody said to the master, hey, you set this man millions of dollars free and let him go. Now, this man is not allowing that man for a couple of dollars. He's killing him. They said, arrest that man. Bring him back. Put him in the jail again. So God is a good God. When you have need, he will remind somebody. If you gave it to money to somebody, he will give it to you. One time again, I needed some money, and I needed only $10. Somebody said, you have this much amount you need. I was lacking $10. And it's a 9 o'clock night. And I'm praying, Lord, I need $10. And so please give it to me. And so here somebody knock at the door and say, Pastor Peter, you remember you gave me $10 two, 3 years ago. And I'm sorry it took so long, but here is your $10. So praise God. God knows everything what you need. And so here we learn that when God said to Peter, you are going to deny me three times, Peter says, no, if I have to give my life, I will give it, but I will not deny it. What happened? God's word fulfilled. And then Peter, the word of God says, he was heartbroken, he repented, and he wept. And not all ordinary weeping. Maybe he was beating on his chest, maybe crying. The man cries means it has to be so much heartbroken. Most of the people, men, they are macho, right? They take all kinds of pain. They take all kinds of suffering. Even though they're burning inside, they feel like crying. They don't cry. They have built up all these things. But when you cry, you release that anger, you release that frustration, and you feel good. That's why some ladies, they cry. And sometimes they say, I felt good when I cried. But more crying is not good. Because when you cry too much, weep too much, your bone get dried up. The word of God says, the merry heart is the best medicine. Rejoice in the Lord. When you have problems and this and that, don't cry. Just say, Lord, your word says you will supply my need. Your word says you're going to heal me. Quote the word says to God. He says, word of God says, remind me what I said. And so we remind the Lord. Somebody says, you know, God knows everything. He says, open your mouth and I fill in. Ask and it shall be given unto you. God knows everything. But he wants to know how much you know about God. How much you know about his promises. And when you have some need and you go and look at those promises and you hold on to the promises, it comes true. You know that lady, what you call Joel Osteen's mother? She got the liver cancer or something. And that was very bad disease and she was going to die. Her husband was a minister. But she thought, if this disease, I'm going to die and doctor says there is no cure for it, I'm going to claim the word of God. And she took all the Bible scriptures and started saying, Lord, this is what your word says, and this is what your word says, and so start talking to God. And so when you say, I'm not going to die in this disease, I'm going to live for God, God will keep you alive. God wants us to do his will. And so Peter, at this time, denied Jesus three times, but when God gave him the Holy Spirit, do you know the same Peter? Same man, but completely transformed. Now when he was preaching, and the priest starts saying to him, "We don't want to preach about Jesus." He says, "I should listen to you, or I should listen to God." And he starts saying, "You crucified my Christ." So he was not afraid. We never see Peter denying Jesus Christ anywhere in the book of Acts. That same Peter started doing signs and wonders and miracles. And dead people, he started raising. And he started doing miracles. So God gives us what? Second chance. God always gives us another chance. But the devil will tell you, "You know what? You made a mistake. And you made an unpardonable sin. God is not going to forgive you. And you are doomed." What is an unpardonable sin? Do you know? Somebody says, "Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit." Okay, let me tell you what the Holy Spirit says. Holy Spirit convince you about Christ. Holy Spirit convince you about salvation. Holy Spirit convince about Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then if you say, "Holy Spirit tells me this, but I'm not going to believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I'm not going to believe him as my Savior." That's the unpardonable sin. If you can do any other sins, those sins will be forgiven. But if you say, "I reject Jesus Christ, he is not a son of God, I don't believe him, I don't trust him, and I go and worship voodoo or worship some Hindu god or something," then you are doomed. But there are some people said, "Oh no, once you're Christian, you are always Christian." Doesn't work that way. You can be Christian today and Muslim tomorrow. There are so many people giving the Christianity and became a Muslim. But any sin you do until you are alive and you have chance to repent, you could say, "I'm sorry, Lord." Even though somebody said, "Gee, I don't believe in Jesus and I don't believe in anything and this and that," God can still forgive as long as you are alive. But if in your deathbed you said this and cursed God and you died, you're doomed. That sins will be never be forgiven. One man said to me, "Show me your Jesus." I said, "What do you want to do?" "I want to kill him." So I said, "Well, I'll show you one day." And then you kill him. And I knew he did blasphemy against God. One day will come and he will know why he said it. And he was in the hospital and dying, a lot of pain. He sent somebody to my church, said, "Call Pastor Peter to pray for me." I knew the name, I knew the person. I would have said, "Let him die." But I went there. I said, "Sir, what can I do for you?" "Oh, I have so much pain. You pray." I said, "Can I show you Jesus so you can kill him now?" He says, first of all, he said, "I'll tie him in my bed and I'll kill him. So now you're on your bed. And can you tie Jesus and shoot him?" He says, "No, no, no. I'm sorry. I made a mistake. Could you please pray that I can be healed?" I prayed. God healed him. He came to church. Got baptized. Became a Christian. Yeah, man. So point I'm making, we have to know our God is a miracle working God. You cannot go against God. If somebody says like that, just like a Paul, the man was bugging him. He said, "Be blind for a while." Instantly then that man became blind. God has given us authority and power. Use it for the glory of God. And God will honor you. When the word of God comes to you, don't take it so lightly. Word of God has power. You use it, and it works. When God says, "I am the Lord that healeth thee," it's not going to change, right? If he says, "I am the healer," he will heal. He will deliver. He will set free. When Jesus Christ was preaching, he said, "Oh, he's not an ordinary man." He preached with what? Power and authority. We are the same. We belong to Jesus Christ. I got this example of Peter. And Peter was, I told you earlier, fisherman. Heavy duty, strong, healthy man, deny Christ in front of little woman. When I was young, I was like skinny. I was afraid of people, I was afraid of everybody, but when God saved me, I'm not afraid of anybody. I go anywhere, I preach the gospel. So, just like Peter, God has given us grace. When I got saved, the marshaling big mosque is a Molbi, they call priest, invited me to preach in his mosque. And when that time I was born again, I went and preached and they wanted to kill me. And they were all swords and everything and they were all ready to kill me. I had a brand new Bible, somebody gave it to me. I thought it's a Bible, but that was a raincoat. And I took the raincoat. I said, bye-bye, I'll see you tomorrow. And what happened? My shoes, I took it off. So I'm talking to them and I put the shoes and I'm going backward. Okay, see you tomorrow. And I went and the bus stop people were waiting for me. And I thought, I forgot my Bible. And the other man says, Brother Peter, everybody came and whispered to me, they are going to kill you. And God saved you. Why do you want to go back there to get killed? I said, I lost my Bible. He said, don't worry, we'll give you a million Bibles. Don't go back. And when I said, I'm going, and they made a chain that I would not go. But when I go backward, they stood there, and they are shivering themselves. Where are you going? And I thought they are making fun. But next day, the man who I kept the Bible there, he went to the post office. And he said, the man of God came to our mosque and he left his Bible. Can you recognize? The man opened the Bible and my name is printed in the Bible. You know, printed. So he said, oh, that's my pastor. He was a stenographer there. And this Muslim man has to come there all the time. So, don't tell your pastor. We wanted to kill him, but we will never kill him again. Because he is so powerful, we were not able to kill him. So I got a message. Then next day morning, they were having an airport, repair airport. And there was a man, contractor there, and standing there. So one person came and said, in our mosque, somebody came and we wanted to kill him. So this person hired them. He said, come here, come here. Who was that guy? We said, he had a Bible and he left the Bible. He said, that's my pastor. So he said, I'm sorry, we are not going to kill him because, you know, our priest says, don't touch him. So God told me not to be afraid. And that man comes and tells them, tell your pastor, we will never touch him because we had all the equipment to kill him. So God didn't allow us to kill. We will not kill him. I was praying, and when I went there, the man said, hey, come here, inside. I said, where are you going taking me? I'm taking you inside. So I went there. He said, do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to kill you. I said, I have a brand new bicycle. That's the only bicycle you can get, but I don't have anything else. He said, I'm going to kill you. I said, okay, give me some time to pray. Before I pray, is there any person sick in the hospital? He says, my wife is dying in the hospital. Can I go and pray for her? Then I can come back and you can kill me? He said, okay, you go. I went. The lady was in the hospital. I prayed for her. God healed her. I came to their neighborhood. I said, you're not going to kill me? No, you are a good man. We cannot kill you because you did great things for us. I was just telling you, Peter denied Jesus Christ 3 times, but when he filled with the Holy Spirit, he got the power of God. So let's be courageous. Don't be afraid. God is with us. God's word is with us. And God's word is so powerful. He says it's sharper than what? Two-edged sword. And so let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us grace. We are learning all these things to get our encouragement. Jesus Christ died for us, so we don't have to die. He was taking beating on his back, so we don't have to be sick and afflicted. He was sinless, so we can give our sin to him. So Lord Jesus, give us grace. But you have given us grace to do great things for you. Be with us, sanctify us, and use us more and more for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.